views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following presentation is brought to you by Heart Lane
Media Group. Capturing the moments that make life great.
Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interview in the interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
You love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Hey there, it's Connie Fife and welcome to Up or Out with Connie. This is your business radio with an edge. Today's guest is Joe Burton, and we were just talking a little bit, and I am so intrigued by his story, and I know you're going to be intrigued by his story as well. And the title of our show today just says it all, From Welfare to Wealthy. How stress drove my success until I hit a wall. And I am sure many of you could relate to this. I know I can. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But it is now time to turn up your volume for Up or Out with Connie, because we want you to stay tuned to the end of the show, because you don't want to miss any of the exciting giveaways and some highlights that I also have for my show. I've been sharing little tidbits and a little secrets of what was going on with my business before the holidays and with the show that you are really going to be excited about, because we are bringing you more, we are bringing you better, and we are bringing you into the C-suite. So here's today's challenge question that I have for you. And this goes out to everyone, the ladies, the guys, if you're in the C-suite or if you're trying to get into the C-suite or you think you have it all. My question is resiliency. Have you ever been knocked down? Because most, if not all, successful people have. I did an interview a few years back and with 50 executive women, and every single one of them had a story that they've been knocked down. They grew up on the other side of the tracks. They've been on welfare. Some were even homeless, and they were able to pick themselves up and get back up. So the question always becomes, why do some people have that resiliency to do that and others really struggle with that? And that was some research that I did many years ago, about that, trying to understand people. And we all know, I mean, that it either comes from our DNA, it comes from the environment that we're raised in, or it could be because of something that happened to you along the way that really changes who you are, changes your personality, gives you a drive to really want to do more, to really want to be successful. And then when you get there, sometimes it's not exactly what you were hoping for. And you're still not happy. And you hit that wall. And you really need to step back and take a look at your life. Last year, over the last couple of years, many of you know that I was adopted. I found out about it. My childhood growing up was somewhat troubling. There was a lot going on, and I was able to reconnect with my mom, with my family. And I was so grateful for that. And I took time off from my business to spend time with mom before she left us last year. And it is so important to be able to just step back and really figure out, what is life all about? What really defines us? And we're going to talk more about that today with our guest. And again, I'm super stoked that he is here, but let's take a really quick sponsor break, and because hey, they're the ones paying the bills, and then we're going to come right back and we're going to learn more about resiliency. Hi, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, your host of Up or Out with Connie. I am thrilled to be a headline show on C-Suite Network. where you can grow your brand, grow your tribe, and be unstoppable. We are the hottest podcast for entrepreneurs, C-level executives, and market leaders. And you can hear me each week right here on the C-Suite Network. Also on Conscious Business Network, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and over 900 stations around the globe. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable. Hey, welcome back. And you are listening to Upper Out with WCONNIE. And it is now my pleasure to introduce Business Insider. He helps you search inside yourself. He is an official instructor to help you search inside yourself, who's overcome his own troubling childhood. He, you know, he was in Madison Avenue. He had that cushy job and he was tired of it. And he went from welfare to wealthy. And help me welcome Joe Burton to Upper Out. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Connie. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
I love that you are here. And I mean, as I was going through and learning more about your background and who you were, I just thought that was so interesting that you are one of those people that had the resiliency to really figure out what it was that you wanted to be doing with your life and how you're able to help others achieve that as well. So that was really cool. But we were talking before we jumped on the show about some of your background, some of your history. So if you're comfortable with it, I'd like to share more of that with our listeners, because there's so many people out there that are sitting in corporate, sitting in the C-suite that are miserable and just trying to figure out, you know, is this what life is all about? And you were able to realize that early on. So if you're comfortable with that, I'd love for you to share what was your troubling childhood like, and what forced you to make that decision to really take a look at yourself and what you wanted to do in life?
No, for sure. And I don't mind sharing at all. I think the, I spent, probably most of my, adult life sort of ashamed and embarrassed of how I grew up. And then sort of getting in touch with that has been such a liberation and actually a point of strength for me. But, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers.
I'm from Pennsylvania too. I didn't know that.
Does that make you a Steelers fan or an Eagles fan?
I know. Steelers.
Okay, there we go. All right. This is going to go well. So, growing up in Pittsburgh in an area called East Liberty. If you remember East Liberty, you better keep an eye on your purse.
Yeah.
We had, I'm the youngest of six kids. Father, unfortunately, was an unemployable alcoholic, and my mother has a form of muscular dystrophy, and so she was diagnosed at 38, and is now in a wheelchair, and you know had difficulty walking, pretty much her half of her life.
Sorry to hear that.
So we grew up in my grandfather's home. There wasn't really any other option, with no income coming in. At 45, my father, quit or was fired from the last of his, many odd jobs.
Okay.
Went from, I think I was 7 years old at the time, really went from welfare to Social Security, right? So from at the time, that would have been 45 to 62.
Okay.
And just never worked again, and sort of lamented life and what everyone owed him. And, growing up in the house, it was very much sort of a, if dad was home, stay away from him, because it was, this scary circumstance of an alcoholic with a temper.
Right.
And then within the family, drug abuse and alcohol abuse, and addiction was, like a feature of the landscape.
Okay.
So at a very young age, just being exposed to, one of my older sisters married a guy who, worked construction, and to make ends meet was a drug dealer, right? And so they lived on the third floor. A lot of people think about drug dealers as the scary guys on the corner, but it's usually like a relative. They're doing you a favor.
Friends, your neighbors.
Yeah, exactly. People in your life.
Right.
And so that was how we grew up. And so at a very early age, you had this sense of like, I'm not good enough. You know, we're... the sort of the shame of like we're not in a great neighborhood, not in a great circumstance. We've got people that are kind of crazy in the family. And so at home, the insecurity around nothing's good enough, being reinforced by, you know, a father that was unemployable, you know, drunk half the time, and creating fear as a, sort of like a normal life experience wasn't a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So one of the things that really was a breakthrough for me is I had I think it was around 8 or 9 years old. A friend of mine introduced me to the Boys and Girls Clubs of America.
Okay.
And that quickly became an escape. Right. So for the first time in my life as a kid, I had adults talking to me about like, oh, hey, you're pretty smart. Like, you know, do you ever think about college? Okay. It's really important to go to school. Like,
you know, you were probably not thinking about it prior to that.
Oh, no. I mean, to the contrary, I had, when I was in high school considering college, I had a father telling me, you know, you're a fool, you know, go learn a trade like a real man. That kind of a thing.
I could definitely relate to that. When mine told me that women don't work, you know, women have babies, or women go up the street and work at the sewing factory. And I was like, you know, come hell or high water, I am not working in that sewing factory. And I will get my education.
Yeah. No, it's really important, right? But it's almost like within the family, you have to overcome these hurdles.
Yes.
You know, and I remember it like it was yesterday, having this conversation with my parents of like, hey, I'm starting to apply for schools. And they didn't have the wherewithal financially or intellectually to actually help even prepare for that. So I was kind of going in it, not knowing what I'm doing. And my father picking up.
And not to beat them up so bad, but I mean, I think you made a point there. They didn't have the intellectual. I mean, regardless of financial, they didn't have it. But I think it was also the intellectual because I know the family that I was raised by didn't have, you know, a great education. So I think it was part of that intellectual too, especially if they never graduated themselves.
Yeah, it's you know, the values are instilled at a very early age, right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think I was in the public school system my whole life, and it's up to the individual teacher. If you get a great teacher and they talk to you about, you get to figure out how your life is going to turn out. You get to figure out what's possible in your life. I think that's amazing. I think more and more schools are starting to teach about sort of emotional well-being and actually getting in touch with your feelings, your ability to control your own emotions.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, part of growing up in our house was like, you know, it's a Irish Catholic family, lots of drinking going on. And it's, if somebody got fired up, you better like match them. If they're loud, you better be louder.
Right. Right.
You know, if there's a rush for food, you better get there fast. It was all about this, you know, this competition of like, you know, hold your own.
Right.
Strong survive kind of a thing.
Well, I don't know about you, but I still have that competition with my siblings. we just, when we're together, it's just like, okay, who's drinking? Who's doing the shot? You know, okay, dinner's here. Okay, hurry up. You know,
yeah.
It's a large family as well. So yeah, we still have a bit of that going on.
we dip right back into it. And my wife is originally from South Africa, and her family has this sort of like very gentle British you know, history in their family, and everything's, you know, sort of very proper and quiet. They wouldn't think about raising their voices. And so we get together and it's just kind of like, you know, who are these people?
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably crazy. But you know, I try, you know, it's who we are. It's defined who we are. And I mean, look at you. I mean, you were able to, and you know, in some aspect of it, the success to get, you know, to Madison Avenue. So, I mean, you were able to leap there, and it goes back to it's made us who we are today. But you've done a lot of research around the resiliency. And so, I mean, what have you found out? Like, why are some people really resilient and other people just are not?
I think the biggest single thing that I learned over, and I've been researching in the space for about 5 years, the biggest single thing I've learned is, these are learnable, trainable skills, right? And oftentimes, and certainly with, you know, people who have gone through things like you've gone through and like I've gone through, it's very easy to learn the skills of retreat you know, yeah. when the fight or fight, flight or fight mechanism kicks in the brain, right. it's very easy to, you know, want to flee and not deal with stuff, to mm-hmm. shut down, to not be able to handle your emotions. Or it's very easy to say like, you know, I'm going to fight this. And there are good ways of fighting and not so good ways of fighting. Mm-hmm. And so what I found, one of the things that made me, you know, resilient in my career was wonderful over the course of time, but then it kind of caught up to me. Okay. And that is, I had this notion growing up of like, I'm better than this. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to fight. I'm going to get out. No one's going to beat me. I'm as good as these other people. I'm going to prove it. And so, you know, that was great getting through college and mm-hmm. I did well there. And then I joined Price Waterhouse, which was an up or out culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I thrived on that. Like, you know, I'm winning. I'm getting promoted every year. You know, there's no way I'm going to lose here. And then I took that into the advertising world and I was very successful because I always hit the numbers. I always hit the budget, you know, projects always got done on time. And I really honed these skills around winning. Right. But I also honed the skills around like people were on my team or they're not on my team.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and having, favorites and sometimes you got to throw a few elbows to win. And, you know, it's nice to get the lion's share of the credit and these kind of things that over the course of time, they tend to wear on you.
Yeah.
Because you can be resilient, right? And you can win. But for me, what happened was it really started taking a toll on my life. So I think there's an emotional intelligence that I was lacking earlier in my career.
Okay.
Really around, the right way to play, to create community, to bring other people into success, okay. to bring other people into that winning and to sort of expand that circle. Mm-hmm. And so the way that showed up for me, without those skills at the time, you know, I'd work 12 and 14 hour days. I traveled 70% of the time. I herniated two discs in my back and had like 5 years of chronic back pain. I developed insomnia, I developed asthma. And so right around 40, my body was giving out. My health was giving out because I wouldn't stop. It's like, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
That's not resiliency. That's stupidity. Right?
It's a different... I had that stupidity too.
Yeah. I think they rhyme, but that's, I had them confused. Yeah. But where things really caught up with me is at the same time, and we were talking about this before the show, I, you know, right around when I turned 38, here I am suffering from, you know, chronic back pain. Mm. One of my older sisters passes away at 45 of a heart attack, long-term drug user. Never escaped the habits and stuff that we grew up with. And then a year later, my twin sister committed suicide. And so she was a long-term heroin addict and, you know, in and out of rehab for many, many years, started using at 15. And, you know, life was catching up to us. I was lamenting just emotionally the way we grew up, the environment we grew up in, it's hard to shake that. And like my siblings, my aunts, my uncles, and just, you know, our family, like stuff catches up to you. And I love my family. I love my sisters, my twin sister. Like I absolutely adored her. Mm. My mother's the best person like I've ever met. And life was really hard, right?
Yeah.
And so what caught up to me is when my health was giving out and I started really looking into stress because I had high stress, high performance job, right? And even when you're winning, if you never enjoy anything,
right,
that's not winning.
It's right.
You know, it's just kind of like, what's happening next? Where's the next bonus? Where am I going to get some stock? On to the next one.
Right.
And not really appreciating relationships in my life.
Okay. That we need to be doing. Absolutely. I'm going to take a quick break right here. We have another sponsor break. And I want to come back and I want to talk more about the business and how you're helping people overcome or not overcome, but help them with their resiliency. So hang in there real quick.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start? Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
And we're back, and it's Connie Fife, and we're chatting today with Joe Burton. And right now we're talking more about resiliency and really something that we said earlier about keeping it real. I mean, how does someone really keep it real in their life? Have that resiliency so they're not stressed out. I mean, so they have the job that they need, a job that they want. They also have that happiness in their life to what they're really doing. So tell us more about your business, because this is what your business is all about and how you help
people. Wonderful. So let me, first I'll talk about sort of how I got into it. I started a mindfulness meditation practice about 5 years ago, and I've already shared a little bit of my background, right? Sort of global CEO, type A personality.
No, not at all.
The whole bit. I had herniated two discs in my back, and over the course of 5 years, my doctor must have said to me 20 times, "I want you to try meditation." And at the time, it was like, "Are you freaking kidding me?" I'm not looking for, you know, hippy dippy nonsense, new religion, none of that kind of stuff. You know, give me some medicine.
And I remember being told, do meditation and do yoga. And the same thing, just like you, I was like, you want me to do what? Meditate. So, and maybe you can give me some pointers, because I do meditate now, but sometimes I meditate right into a deep sleep. And I actually, I'm still working through that. So maybe you could give me some help on that.
I would be happy to share some pointers.
Great.
So I, going through all of this, I actually finally started doing some mindfulness meditation. What I found over the course of, about 2 months was a significant decrease in my back pain. You know, not getting fired up, not looking to have battles with people. Mm. Right? That's one of the areas we don't realize we do to ourselves is, we're training our brain all the time to become good at things.
Yes.
And in my case, I trained my brain really good to, I was great at jumping to conclusions, looking for a fight, conspiracy theories. Exactly. And if you suffer from insomnia, we all train ourselves. You lay down on the pillow, and our brain then says, like, I'm now in position to worry.
Yeah.
And over the course of time, we make ourselves really, really good at worrying, right? Until we exhaust ourselves and we fall asleep.
Right.
So what I started learning about all of these practices of just basically how our brain works, and also sort of things like self-regulation, the ability to control your emotions.
Okay.
The ability to stop and think before you react.
Okay.
And we're also programmed, your viewers can see my hand here, but like if you imagine this is your brain, this front part is your thinking brain, it's your prefrontal cortex. That's the filter where it's working. Like you actually think and you're thoughtful before you say stuff, right?
Okay.
And then this little walnut's the amygdala, that's your emotional brain, your fight or flight trigger, right?
Yes.
And what happens over the course of time is when people flip their lid and this little guy takes over, right?
Okay.
But when they're working together, the thinking brain does its job. You're calm, cool, collected. But if you know someone who like loses it, often what happens is over the course of time, like they flip their lid and they get better at it. And then they reach the point where like it's just up all the time. They're looking for a fight or to like withdraw or to cry or break down, whatever it is.
Okay.
And what we're talking about in a mindfulness meditation practice is really to get to understand how the brain works, right?
Okay.
And then get into a habit of actually training the brain to do different things, right?
Okay.
Today, we all train the brain to, like, if you have a moment, even a moment, what happens? If pick up your phone, like what's going on Twitter, what's happening on Facebook.
Right.
We don't like silence. We don't like quiet.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on? There's something, yeah, something's out right here. Something.
Yeah. Or if you lose your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh God, no, don't lose your phone.
Is there anything worse that can happen?
Oh my gosh. I thought I lost it last week. I was going crazy. I was like, who's my phone? Who's my phone?
Yeah. The worst things that could happen today. Be like, you know, you lose your phone or the dog could die. Like in that order.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we training ourselves constantly, and the way that the brain works is it's a processing machine. Okay. So it gets really good at what we process the most. And sadly for most of us, that's worry, anxiety, regret, you know, worrying about the past, worrying about the future. Right. Is my boss out to get me? You know, conspiracy theories, all these things. And the more we do it, the better the brain is at connecting those neural pathways, processing the information, and going right there. Okay?
Okay.
So what I learned very early on in this is going from like the woo-woo, like hippy-dippy,
right.
I have no interest in, and getting into like, oh, okay, by training the brain to focus and notice when you're distracted, right, you can actually train yourself to become good at paying attention. And if you're paying attention on a regular basis, you're not worried about the future and the past and people being out to get you and not being able to sleep and da da da. You're actually just focused on the present moment. And it's a skill that we actually have to train in the same way that we train ourselves to do the exact opposite.
I would love to keep talking to you, but unfortunately, I'm being cut off and told that our time is coming to an end. But before we do that, let our listeners know how they can learn more about you, because this is really an invaluable practice that so many people, especially people sitting in the C-suite, need to learn and need to hear about. So how can they reach out to you?
Oh, wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much for having me. And I'm happy to talk about it anytime. They can reach us at will.com, W-H-I-L.com. Our business focuses on providing stress, resiliency, sleep, and performance training tools to help people get the most out of life. If they go to will.com and go to the for individuals area, they can actually sign up and get a 3-month free trial. And so we'll happy to do that for your listeners. And again, it's W-H-I-L.com.
W-H-I-L.com.
Yeah. And then for anyone who's interested in bringing these kind of things into their companies or universities, that's what we specialize in. So we cover over 3 million lives. We have over 500,000 users. And we work with big companies all around the world. We're now in 5 universities, 8 school districts. We have a program for teenagers.
Wow. And
for anyone who's a parent, get the teen training. You can do a 2 or 3 month free trial for that.
Okay.
You're welcome. Teenagers need these skills, their life skills.
Oh, so much, so much.
Yeah.
Yes. But I promise everyone, I promise that this big announcement, and this big announcement is that I am thrilled that I am not only on Conscious Business Network, I am also now part of the C-Suite Network with the Jeffrey Haislip Group. And I am just so excited. I love, love, love this group, love working with them. Both the networks are just phenomenal to me. And we have so much coming up. We're putting together a conference for later this year. It's the Be Unstoppable Conference. And again, I am just over the top excited about this, because we have so many folks joining us from the C-Suite Network. Just exciting, exciting information. So I'll be bringing more of that to you. But I just want to let everyone know that stay tuned, because we have a lot of giveaways. A lot of folks from the C-Suite Network that are going to be joining us on the show. And it's just a really exciting time. So I am so thrilled to be here. But I am also thrilled that you are here with us. You are listening, because without our listeners, we wouldn't be here. So thank you. Thank you for being here. And it's 2017. It's a new year. I hope that you have started with intention, and that you are holding your head high and you are living your dream. Because so many of us only dream. We don't take action. And please take action. So remember to subscribe to our iTunes page, Facebook, LinkedIn, and you can Facebook and Twitter. There's a lot of information out there about Business Conscious Network and C-Suite Radio. We have so much going on out there. And it's been great being here with you today. And always remember to ask yourself, if you could be doing anything, what would you be doing right now? What would that be that you would be doing right now? So until next time, be unstoppable, and we'll be talking with you again real soon.